Hello everyone and welcome to yet another episode of the Smashy Business Show. Today is 22nd of October. It's a Tuesday, very good Tuesday. Monday has gone by. It was a very busy Monday. And I have with me the beautiful Farah Bashir, who is also the show host on Love in Dubai.
Thank you. Thank you for the beautiful introduction, Abdelmajid.
How are you today?
It's a lot. I am good, actually. As you said, the moment Monday passes, it feels like
there's a calming feeling. There's a relaxing feeling that, okay, the hard day is over now. We'll continue.
We can continue right now after Monday is done. Yeah. I agree with Abdelmajid.
So a lot is happening in the business world. It's not just IPOs and stuff. There's a lot happening. Q3 just ended. Q4 started with October. We're 22 days into October, and a lot of Q3 reports are here. I'll just read a few of the earning reports that I saw. First, Abu Dhabi Bank, which is the biggest bank in the UAE, it has delivered robust results. They've published their numbers for the first 9 months of 2024. So, group's franchise lifted revenue 16% higher year on year to AED 23.9 billion. And the profit before tax is now 15.3 billion in the first 9 months of 2024. That is up by 15%. Apart from that, National Bank of Umm Al Quwain reported 109 million profit in the first 9 months. Bank of Sharjah posted 80.51 million profit in the first 9 months. Emirates NBD, 19 billion profit first 9 months. Sasco reported 2.5 higher net profit first 9 months. The main idea is that everyone is doing profits. Everyone is in profits. There's very rare and ambiguous stories, like one or two things which don't report profits, maybe because of their operational problems or their some problem. But usually when you see the Middle East right now, every company is doing good. And that is because they're working in two of the best economies, Saudi Arabia and UAE. Countries themselves are on the rise and the economy is on the rise. So the businesses are on the rise.
100%. Because, you know, as well, as you said, Saudi Arabia and the UAE, they might be like the biggest countries that are making the most, I'd say profit.
Yeah.
However, they're as well investing in other neighboring countries in the Middle East. Yeah. Which is what's making the Middle East, you know, on like the right side as like the top destination for a lot of people to actually move. And I love that. I love that for the Middle East. I would like to say in my own terms and in my own language is that it's finally getting the recognition that it deserves.
Yeah. Middle East is getting the recognition coming to you directly from Farah Bashir. Yes. So that is one thing. We've reported on a lot of stuff across the day on Monday, even last week. But one of the biggest thing that we've seen, one of the biggest earning reports we've seen is from the Saudi Tadawul Group. Saudi Tadawul Group basically handles the Saudi Stock Exchange. It's a big thing that they've reported profits. Their Q3 earnings, the net income surged 37.2% year on year as compared to Q3 of 2024. And it has reached Saudi riyals 140.4 million. So that's a 37% increase from last Q3 of 2023 as compared to that. The rise in income is driven by a 20.6% increase in operating revenues, which totaled 359.1 million Saudi riyals, despite higher operating expenditures. Growth was fueled by higher trading activities, post-trade services, and revenue from non-trading services. In short, a lot of people are going for IPOs on the Saudi Stock Exchange, the main exchange that is Tadawul, and the parallel market, the smaller market for SMEs, Nomu. So a lot of IPOs bring a lot of money in, and a lot of money brings a lot of profits and net income. So yeah, this is what is happening with the Saudi Tadawul Group.
I mean, this is like we can confirm that this is such a huge, significant increase because like it's the group, as we said, as you said, has witnessed a 69.5% net income increase, and that all in the first only 9 months of 2024, which makes me think, if that is the case now, and now that we are getting to Q4, what will the increase be at Q4? You know, we are seeing a lot of investments happening here and there. We talk about this every single day. Saudi is in our news and on our show, and of course with all of the increase that's happening, it will be reflecting the investor confidence and increased market activity, which will solidify Tadawul's position as a key financial hub in the region. You know what I mean? Like, as I genuinely feel like you know, at this point, Saudi had a plan, is executing the plan.
Perfect.
And the plan is not only working out, it is as well going to be working out even better towards 2025.
Yeah, one of the examples of their planning and the planning doing really great is their tourism targets. They had a tourism target earning of nearly 2.3 billion, if I'm not wrong. And they're crossed it. The target was for 2030. They crossed it in 2024.
That's
in the second quarter, in the first half.
Yes.
So whatever they are planning, they're keeping their targets realistic and they're achieving them like 6-7 years before the deadline.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's a very good sign for the Saudi market as a whole and the Saudi economy.
100%, I agree with you. And not only that, it's like, it makes me think in a way that, you know what, 2024 has not ended yet and they had achieved all of that. And we are now in Q4.
Yeah.
So with Q4, with a lot of, as I said earlier, business is happening, a lot of investments, and the economy is going and blooming, then that only means one thing, that Saudi Arabia is actually going to be reaching its 2030 goals way before 2030. Yeah.
So apparently 36 new securities were listed in the first 9 months on the Saudi Tadawul exchange, including funds, debt instruments, and company transfer. Tadawul is expanding its role in the financial market. Mm-hmm. I was just reading that Saudi Tadawul, the main exchange, is one of the largest 10 stock exchanges in the world by market capitalization. And under the Saudi Tadawul Group, there's obviously the Saudi Exchange, there's Securities Clearing Center Company, Mukassa, the Securities Depository Center Company, IDA, and WAMID. So all these four constitute the whole Saudi Tadawul Group. And it has one of the biggest 10 exchanges in the world. So that shows you that a lot of money is flowing in. A lot of people, again, we talked about it yesterday, regional headquarters are being set up in Saudi Arabia, because if you want government contracts from the Saudi government, and the Saudi government is giving out a lot of contracts for the NEOM project, for everything that they're building in Saudi Arabia, you have to set up a regional headquarter in Saudi Arabia. So that way they're bringing FDI, foreign direct investment. So again, a very good, well-set plan from Saudi Arabia
100%.
To reach their 2030 Saudi Vision targets.
And by the way, like, something that I've noticed is that big companies are choosing Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Like Google, for example, you know what I mean?
And then it goes on and on. Is there now.
They are choosing Saudi Arabia and they are investing in Saudi Arabia because they know. They know that, you know what, if they do actually have their headquarters in Saudi Arabia, that will do them nothing but good.
Yeah.
For sure.
So Tadawul's main and parallel markets continue to go. As I told you, main market is Tadawul, the parallel market is Nomu. And they have a total market cap of 10.2 billion Saudi riyals. And average daily traded value is nearly 8 billion Saudi riyals. Very good sign, very big numbers from the Saudi exchange and the parallel market, Nomu market. And with 336 companies now listed across Tadawul and Nomu, big number again, the market is expected to attract more listings, maintain its growth trajectory in the coming quarters. We recently saw, we've talked about this a lot of times, Majid Al Oud, the biggest IPO that I saw this year on the Saudi market. They were oversubscribed like 9-10 times. Then when they opened, they doubled their price. There was a 30% cap on the price, right? So they started with 92 Saudi riyals. They ended up on the first day at 124. The second day, they ended at 154. Even right now, if I look at Majid Al Oud, they're trading at around 150 something. So it shows that 160, not even 150. So per share price is 160, which started at 92. That shows that there's a lot of confidence in the Saudi economy.
100%.
People who are going public in Saudi Arabia, the companies which were privately held for a long time, they are going for IPOs. They want to be publicly listed, take the money and expand across the globe, in the region, within the country. So that's the plan. They don't want to stay a private company now.
And exactly. And not only that, like Saudi Arabia, you know, like it's the fact that it is not depending on oil for all of that. And when we when I first remember reading the fact that Saudi Arabia does not want to depend on oil, I was like, how come? How can they increase all of their economy without oil? They are the main source of oil, and the main source of
their main economy was run by oil.
Literally, it was run by oil. And when they wanted to shift their economy depending on oil, I was like, how can they do that?
Yeah.
And look at them. Look at them right now.
And just to talk about one country, another country from the Middle East, we're talking about Saudi and the Tadawul Group's earnings report. UAE is set to get a 5% rise in their non-oil trade activity in 2025. That was reported yesterday. So just trying to mention that all the countries in the Middle Eastern region, their non-oil trade is booming. UAE has a SEPA in process, which is a comprehensive economic partnership agreement. They're trying to sign 28 SEPAs with 28 countries by the end of this decade, 2030. And the idea is, again, to do more non-oil trade and less oil trading. Oil trade is going side on side. It's not like they've completely shut down the programs, but they're building another parallel economy to the oil economy, and it's doing really great big wonders for them. So this is what was happening in Saudi Arabia. Some more news from Saudi Arabia, that it's an interesting story. That is why I made it one of the main stories, where Saudi box office has posted big numbers. What happened was that they had record ticket sales and rise in local productions as well. So cinema industry is experienced rapid growth, with ticket sales reaching 657 million Saudi riyals in the first 9 months of 2024. Last week, 52 films grossed 10.7 million Saudi riyals and 222,000 tickets were sold. That's a big number. Some may say that cinemas are new to Saudi Arabia. They recently came back. That is why it's an uptick. But you have to see that that started in 2018. Cinema didn't come like 1 year ago or 6 months ago. And you see this all fervor and activity. It happened in 2018. Obviously, we can reduce 2 years of COVID in between because everything was closed. But still, they had time for nearly 3 years to build up the market. And even if you talk about that, it's the emotion that is taking people there because they couldn't see cinema in Saudi Arabia for such a long time. That could have died down now. So it's showing that it's a stable thing. It's not that people are, dying for cinema. Yeah. It's a stable thing and it is going to continue.
I mean, you know what? I remember till this day when King Salman wanted to or had this vision for Saudi Arabia and how he wanted to shift Saudi Arabia from what we thought or what we knew Saudi Arabia to be like to what it is right now. And when he had mentioned that he would want to open cinemas and right now with this open and cinemas ever since that they had reopened in 2018. And Saudi Arabia has become, you know, like the largest cinema market in the Arab world. It has 66 cinemas, 618 screens, 63,000 seats across 22 cities, which is, by the way, it's really a big, big number and a big jump because, like, you know, King Salman wanted to shift. And right now, I can confirm that because, like, the image of Saudi Arabia and how it is kind of like embedded in a certain way in my brain.
Yeah.
And with now reading the numbers and reading the improvement, whether it's economy, tourism, cinemas, and the list goes on and on, just like kind of like, it's like I don't even recognize Saudi Arabia anymore, you know what I mean? And this is all, of course.
No, people who've lived in Saudi Arabia, like in the past decade or even like their whole lives, one of the examples I gave is my wife. She's lived in Saudi Arabia. She spent 18 years there. She lived in Riyadh, which is like one of the hubs that is being developed into an international city with all the attractions, tourism attractions, business attractions. When they go to Saudi Arabia, they say it's completely changed. It's a complete 180-degree shift.
Yes, that's
true. It's not the same anymore. Culturally, socially, economically, everything has taken a complete U-turn, but it's a complete change. They don't recognize the place. So it's like it's the same like people who have lived here in the UAE. Again, personal example, my father traveled to the UAE back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And when he came recently, he was like, this place it's has changed so it's much. It's completely new. So yeah. This is the idea for the Middle Eastern countries. They didn't sit on their oil and be like, okay, yeah. we're not doing anything, just taking the profits.
Yeah.
They actually built environments, strong basis for everything, be it tourism, be it economy, be it making Dubai a business hub, mm-hmm. making UAE the center of the world with their business activity in Abu Dhabi, in Sharjah, everywhere. So this is the idea behind everything. They're opening it to the world and they're making this region as a whole mm-hmm. the center of the world.
I mean, yeah. I as you said, you know, there's nothing that I can add because the fact that they are as well focusing on their tourism, their other businesses, investment, their economy, and as well cinema market. I think that would be that's really it. All aligns with I know Saudi everyone heard the 2030, the big number.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the government's investment in the film industry. Coming back to the film industry, mm-hmm. They have a initiative is called the Big Time Fund. So it aims to promote Saudi Gulf and Arab films. Saudi films, I saw two films, Mandoob and Sattar, are breaking box office records, reflecting the growing impact of local cinema amid Hollywood's dominance. Mandoob, I guess, is like the night guard or night something. Mandoob mm-hmm. means that. So that's a very good thriller movie. I saw the trailer and everything just to see how they're doing. But apparently the local cinema, the local movies are doing great as well. It's not just new releases from Hollywood that are doing great rounds. The local films are doing great business. So Red Sea International Film Festival also happens in Saudi Arabia. I didn't go to it, but a lot of people I know did go to it. Mm-hmm. It's a very big film festival. So this industry is going to expand. Just don't think for even private investors or people coming in to invest in the Saudi film industry, it's not just going to be a one-time investment. You can invest on it over a period and see that it will grow into something big. It's already the biggest market for cinema in the world, Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And if I remember correctly, NEOM also has a very big studio setup. I don't remember the name of it. They have a name for everything in NEOM. But that thing that has like Hollywood level studio production and everything. So if I remember the name, I'll do a more research on it and I'll tell you about it on Wednesday. But they have a whole studio-esque mm-hmm. city, I guess, film city, where you can produce a whole Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
And we've seen over the years, UAE been host to Bollywood movies, Hollywood movies.
Yes, I mean, you know, at this point, it makes me very, like, I would say, like, keen on the fact, on one fact, which is the fact that the local films and local cinemas are being promoted better and more than other because like they want to show like, hey, we can do that. And they are really creative and they're good. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the third story for the day. Let's talk about what is happening in Abu Dhabi. Coming back to Abu Dhabi after two Saudi stories, coming back to the UAE. Abu Dhabi's first Mandarin Oriental residences have been announced. They're going to be built in partnership with Altar. They signed the contract yesterday, so we did the news. It's on our socials as well if you want more details. But Altar is Abu Dhabi's leading real estate developer, and they've partnered with Mandarin Oriental. Mandarin Oriental are the owners and the operators of some of the world's most luxurious hotels, including Emirates Palace. So resorts and residences, they also deal that in. So the first Mandarin Oriental branded residence mm-hmm. in the UAE is coming to Abu Dhabi. And it's going to be on the Saadiyat Island in the UAE. So the partnership comes as demand for branded residences has experienced sustained growth in Abu Dhabi. And recently, a penthouse within one of Altar's branded residential developments on Saadiyat Island set a record transaction for Abu Dhabi earlier this year. The penthouse went for 137 million dirhams. Not a small number, 137 million, not even 1 million, 2 million or 10 million.
Yeah.
137 million dirhams one penthouse went for. So branded residences are the new thing. We know Mohammed Bin Ghati residences, they build a lot of them in Dubai. So would you buy it? Would you buy a branded residence like your walls and your whole house branded like a Bugatti?
If I had the money, yes. If I had the money, for sure. But I know sometimes like you think like why would Abu Dhabi have such a branded residence? Because you know, again, like this is all because like it wants to reflect Abu Dhabi's commitment to because they're trying to expand their luxury real estate market, and of course this will align with their economic goals because they want the city to be to appeal as a destination for high end living. You know what I mean? Like now, the other day I went to Abu Dhabi and I couldn't recognize it. I really couldn't recognize. I mean, I was like, what? This is the Abu Dhabi that I literally lived in like a few months, like not a few months, like a few years ago. And it's beautiful. The Saadiyat Island is beautiful. You can smell the luxury. You can smell, you can see it. You know what I mean? It's there. It's visible. And they are not doing, I think, I think that they're doing a good job having high-end branded luxury real estate.
Because and it's amazing. High-end branded luxury residences, if you talk about it, US is the biggest market. They have nearly 1,000 projects. I read this report like a year ago, so these numbers would have changed. But I just remembered that I did read a report about it. UAE currently has less than 100 branded residences, which have been built or have been announced at least. So UAE still has a lot of opportunity, a potential to build more branded residences. US, the biggest market, it already has nearly 1,000. So that shows that it's not going to stop. Branded residences are here to stay, and people have that kind of money. That's the good part. Millionaires moving in. Again, we've quoted this number 1 million times, I guess. 6,700 millionaires moving to Dubai this year, majority from the UK. So they have that kind of money. They want that luxury, and it is being provided through these projects. So this project, especially Mandarin Oriental Residences, will open. It's set to launch, the construction and everything will launch by the end of this year. And it will consist of 228 premium homes. And this partnership, this exclusive development, will be within walking distance of the Louvre, Abu Dhabi. So whenever you're in the mood, you can just stroll into the Louvre,
this
Abu Dhabi.
Like, at this point, honestly, it just like makes me think in the way like when people think of the UAE, they think of like luxury. And then they come and then they see it and they go like, okay, this is actually like luxury. This is for sure luxury. And Abu Dhabi.
I guess there is no luxury in the world like Dubai,
Abu Dhabi and the UAE like the as UAE, a whole, you know.
So there is no luxury you can experience in the UAE if you have that kind of
And
money.
They are implementing it, you know, with like their real estate. There's a lot, like if you live in the UAE, you know that opportunities are everywhere.
So yeah, it'll be walking distance to Louvre Abu Dhabi, but it'll also be in the walking distance to the forthcoming Natural History Museum in Abu Dhabi and the Guggenheim Abu Dhabi, which is going to be bigger than its US counterpart. I remember Guggenheim. So yeah, this is the story that happened. In the morning, we also saw something happening for on the Dubai financial markets, that is the Dubai Stock Exchange. So Dubizzle. It's a Dubai-based platform. Everyone knows Dubizzle, I guess, for jobs, for everything that happens on Dubizzle. I don't need to explain what Dubizzle is, I guess. So Dubizzle has changed the banks that was handling its IPO. They plan to go for an IPO in 2025, and they've changed the banks. First, they had Citigroup and HSBC, which were handling their IPO in 2023. Now they've appointed new banks, according to a report by IFR, International Financial Review. So now the new banks are Emirates NBD, Goldman Sachs, HSBC, they've retained HSBC, and Morgan Stanley. So they've appointed four banks now. They were working with two in 2023, and now they appointed three and retained HSBC. So they're going to work on their IPO for 2025. Just to give you a glimpse of what is happening, the Dubai financial market is already preparing for a listing from Talabat, which is owned by the German last mile delivery firm Delivery Hero. So they're going for an IPO in this quarter. We don't know the dates yet, but they are going to go for an IPO this year. Lulu just announced that they're going to list on ADX, moving from Dubai financial market to Abu Dhabi, because it is going to be one of the biggest IPOs this year. They're planning to be evaluated at 5 billion. That's a big number. And then Lulu Group is trying to raise 1.8 to 2 billion rupees for expansion within the country and across the globe as well. So those two IPOs are happening. I yesterday got a message from my bank, FAB, about the Lulu IPO. So it's not a small thing. Banks are sending messages that, oh, it's happening. They have an ideal date that in November, they may announce a price range, how much one share will cost you. And what I read was, according to reports, not directly from Lulu Group, some 90% of the shares will go to institutional investors, but people who already have invested in Lulu Group privately, they will be offered the shares first. So if you're already a investor in Abu Dhabi-based Lulu Group, you'll get the opportunity first, then institutional investors, and maybe if there is enough demand and if when the bookkeeping process is going on, if individual investors show interest, they will also get a chance to get maybe 5 to 10% of the shares. So all this is happening in Abu Dhabi, in Dubai, financial markets, in the stock exchanges. So if you're a stock trader, day trader, anything, you should know all of this. It's important information. And there's another IPO that I didn't see anything about, but I saw some news about it, that there's the hospitality group, Five Holdings. They have five hotels. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows Five Hotels. So Five Holdings is going for an IPO in 2025. They're planning it in the first half as well. So yeah, these are some of the big IPOs that are happening in the region, in the UAE, in Abu Dhabi. So invest in them if you think they would do good. We have past examples throughout this year. Spinneys went for an IPO this year. They did great. So history and numbers tell us that it's doing good because the economy, the environment that these IPOs are going in, Dubai and Abu Dhabi, they're perfectly safe. The economy is stable. So yeah, good choices for people who invest in stocks. Thank you very much for joining us today. We're getting to the half an hour mark every day.
Yes,
yeah, we're discussing some good stuff. So if you missed any of it, any information about the stories, you can go back, watch all the lives that are there. We're live on TikTok, we're live on Instagram, we're live on Facebook, we're live on YouTube. Wherever there is an option to go live, we're there. If you missed the show, you can go to YouTube live option and you can watch the whole episode from the start. Apart from that, for daily news about business, tech, entrepreneurs, the driven dreamers, doers, just go to our social platform. Mainly if you want all the things, just by scrolling, go to Instagram, follow us there, and you'll get all the news of the day, whatever is happening in the world of Middle East economics mainly. You'll get all the news from there. We're also on audio platforms, so if you are not able to watch us, just listen to us.
Or stuck in traffic.
Yeah, stuck in traffic. Just put your headphones on and you could do Apple, Anghami. You can listen to us through all the listening audio platforms. Google Podcast has now come back to YouTube Music. So yeah, just YouTube Music, open the app and you can listen to us there as well. So we're everywhere. Smashy Business. Just remember the name and Smashy Business. Thank you so much for joining us. This was the Smashy Business Show. It's a production by the Smashy Business team and it's part of the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network. We have 1.3 million listeners and thank you very much for joining us. If you want to brand with us, you can always contact us as well. Just pitching in the sales pitch at the end. So we can cover your brand, your story very nicely. Thank you very much. Take care. See you on Wednesday.